All right. Thank you, Brother Larry. This morning, I want to thank you all for cranking up your interwebs this morning, for logging into the GoogleNet, and whether or not you're coming to us through ChatFace or InstaTwit, we're just glad you're here today. It's a kind of poor substitute for being all gathered together and enjoying one another's company. But I think the main thing this morning is the fact that we're still gathered around His Word. We can still do that, and we praise God for that. If you've got your books, I'm using the same one our class, men's class uses, the Bible Studies for Life, and we're in session 4 today. And I'm not sure if the book you have may line up with what I've got, but this book, we start out on page 44 with a question that's given to us. Question number 1 there on page 44. And it says, what are some things you've never seen, but you still believe that they exist? So I want you to think about that. What are some things that you can think of that you've never seen, but you still believe that they exist? It's pictured right in our book here. It's got a model of a molecule. And, you know, I do think about that, molecules and atoms. I've never seen them, but I've been taught a lot about them. And from the evidence I've seen and been told, I believe they exist. Blue whales. I've never seen a blue whale, but they're huge, magnificent animals, and it's almost hard to believe something that big is out there swimming around in the ocean. But I've never seen it, but I've seen a lot of documentaries, photos, and all, and through that evidence, I believe they exist. The backside of the moon. I mean, I can see the face of the moon at night, but I've never seen that backside personally. But I've seen accounts of other people who have. We've sent spaceships out there and men around the moon, and they've taken images, and I believe that exists. Another thing would be maybe Mount Rushmore. I've never been there. Maybe you've been and seen it. But I have seen a lot of pictures, and I've read about it, and it's this beautiful big rock that's got these faces of these 4 men carved out on it. And there's 3 surveyors and some other guy, but it's really cool, and I believe that it exists, even though I've never seen it. Another thing that might come to mind that I've never seen it, but I believe it exists, it would be the beach at Normandy. Again, I've never been there. I've seen pictures. I've read stories of the men who were there, who fought and died there. I trust their account. I hadn't seen it firsthand, but again, I have evidence of the evidence that I trust. So I believe that exists. You know, some things we see then that we just have to believe and just take it on faith. We're told sometimes by the authorities that they exist, or we've seen pictures, or we have other evidence for us, and you know, and at the same time, though, we may struggle a little bit with the reality of some of the things that we've either seen or been told about. Maybe they're things that are just too great or grand, or maybe they're just a little strange and different. But to trust these things, all of them, it just takes a little bit of faith. So that does bring us to today's lesson. Our lesson title is Faith. And it's the 4th in our series, Holy Vocabulary, Unpacking the Language of Faith. And the point that's given to us in our text for today's lesson is that we can confidently trust in what God says and does. And as Brother Larry alluded to or mentioned, today's scripture that we're going to be looking at is one that's gone to quite often when we speak about faith. It's Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be looking at the first 6 verses in Hebrews 11. Now, speaking about trust, I once read a story about a tightrope walker by the name of Charles Blondin. I don't know if you've heard of him before or not, but he lived from 1824 to 1897, And now it was told that one of his exhibitions was held at Niagara Falls, and the rope that he had stretched across the waters that he went out on, he went a number of times, and each time he would go, he would carry or push a variety of objects across that tightrope with him. Now, in one of these instances, he grabbed a wheelbarrow and got ready to get up on the tightrope. And as he grabbed his wheelbarrow and prepared to get up and get on the tightrope and go across, he looked back to the crowd and asked them if there was anybody there that wanted to get in. Now, that would have taken some faith, I believe, to jump in that wheelbarrow with him on that tightrope. There's also a classic method that we see used in relationship building activities sometimes. You may have either seen this or maybe even participated in it. It's called the trust fall. And this is an exercise where one person entrusts all their body weight to one or more of their teammates by intentionally falling backwards in hopes of being caught by them. Now, the idea here is to build faith between coworkers, spouses, or friends. The ability to believe that somebody will do what they promised is key to this exercise, and it's also key to any healthy relationship. Now, the book of Hebrews, where we're going to be looking at today, in there it uses our spiritual ancestors as an example of how our faith works in relationship with God. And as we see here in chapter 11 of Hebrews, faith, as it's described there, means that trusting that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. And this is the kind of relationship, the kind of faith relationship that pleases God. Scripture tells us that faith is foundational to our relationship with God. In fact, it's impossible for us to do anything that's pleasing to God without faith. So, with that, let's start looking into what this week's scriptures have to say to us, had to tell us about faith. The first verses that we're going to be looking at today, again, we're in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be looking at the first three verses there. And I'm going to be reading out of NIV. Please read along with whatever translation you have. And as we read these verses, I want us to be listening for a definition or an explanation that's contained here. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Now, I want us to listen and look at maybe a couple of other versions of verse 1 there. The Holman Christian Standard tells us, now faith is the reality or assurance of what is hoped for, the proof or conviction of what is not seen. The Amplified Version reads, now faith is the assurance or title deed or confirmation of things hoped for or that's divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. I want us to look now at where we're looking at several different translations here, and I want us to look at the key words that we see in the writer's explanation here of faith in verse 1 to try to put some of these descriptions together. It uses words like being sure, reality, hope, certain, proof, evidence, conviction, assurance, confirmation, and guarantee. Now, with that, I want us to look a little further at these two descriptive phrases that we see in verse 1 and look at a few other translations and see how they're handled there. The NIV says, being sure of what we hope for. certain of what we do not see. King James says, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. The New Living Testament, it says, confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen, evidence of things we cannot yet see. So, if we take all of these together from these different translations, if we put them together, I think we start to see two basic elements kind of pop out of there. We can separate them into two things. And one is the reality that's required for having hope. The reality that's required for having hope. And this is not a wish type hope. This is a different thing. Wish and hope and a hope are two different things. And as I said, we see here in these verses how hope is grounded in a reality that's required. And the second thing that comes out, second basic element that comes out of this, I think, is that there is an evidence that is beyond what we might be able to see or feel, a definite evidence. A question for us to think about. What does faith help us to comprehend about the creation of the world? One thing I can think of is that it was formed at God's command. Faith helps us comprehend how God made this out of nothing. You know, because God had no raw materials in stock that he used to construct all this matter that we have around us. Now, why does believing that God is our creator, why does that require faith on our part? Well, if we think about it, there was nobody there to see it happen. No firsthand witnesses were available. We do have the Genesis account, and it's the general opinion that Moses actually wrote those words down, but we know he couldn't have been there to actually see it happen. Many believe that this account that we have was likely passed down orally through the generations, and we have it. Thank goodness. Thank God for it. We have it and we read it and we accept it as being the truth. Excuse me while I wet my whistle a minute. I want to read you a statement here, and I want to see if you agree or disagree with this statement. So think about it as I read. You know, is this something I agree with or maybe not so much? Faith is merely a leap in the dark. If you know something, you don't need faith. To accept something about which you know little or nothing, you're acting blindly. Now, do you agree with that? Or do you disagree with it? Let's take just a minute maybe to look at both sides of this then. If you agree with it, then this is a situation where, as a result, you have no guarantees. You just hope you're right, but you really can't be sure. Sometimes you guess right, and sometimes you're going to guess wrong. At other times, you're just going to be playing the odds. And maybe that's a little bit like saying that we have faith in winning the lottery, where, you know, really I think that kind of thing is more of a wish than faith. Now let's look at it on the other side, that statement about believing that faith is merely a leap in the dark. If we disagree with that statement, if we disagree with it, it may be a situation where we're looking at it as like something that worked for me before. Like, you know, I put my brakes on when I pulled in here today, and I assume that that's going to work again the next time. Or maybe it's a situation where we take the word of someone else. And if we do take the word of someone else or get some other information like that, that then makes it an informed decision that we're making. And faith is the act of will which enables us to act with the best information, even though it might be limited, but the best information that we have available to us. And if we didn't do that, if we didn't take an action on information the best we could have, if we chose to take no action on that, then we'd be just paralyzed or doing nothing. And speaking of that, I want us to think now, what are some invisible realities, some invisible realities that faith is used to help us see? What comes to your mind? Maybe the creation work of God. We do know by our faith that helps us see that the creation work was from God, and it wasn't just some kind of series of totally natural things or random events. Another thing that faith helps us to see, that we know is a reality, is Jesus the Messiah. He was and is God. And he came to earth as totally human and still at the same time totally God. Another thing faith helps us to see is we see God's protection over us and his protection over our children, maybe in dangerous situations. Another thing that helps that faith helps us to see a reality is when we received wisdom from God, just when we need it, right at that moment. He gives us wisdom. Another thing would be maybe peace in the middle of turmoil and distress. And another thing that faith helps us see, we know through that God is interested in us personally. And the needs that we have, they're neither too small nor too large for him to supply. Let's look at verse 2 in the scripture that we just read here. What do you think that the writer of Hebrews meant there in verse 2 when he describes people as being approved or getting a good report because of their faith? Well, one thing I think is that we see there that they pleased God, that they received God's approval. They believed what God said, and that was faith. And not only did they just believe it, but they acted on their belief as well, and that also was faith. And so I think we see there that they were in good standing with God. And now this same idea is still true for us today. We're approved by God because of our faith. Our personal acceptance of the redemptive work of Jesus when he died on the cross for our sins. With that, let's move along now and start taking a look at our second section of verses today. Actually, we just have one verse in this second section. Now I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 11, following up right where we left off. We're going to pick up and look at verse 4 this time. And as we're reading verse 4, I want you to be listening for who is the very first hero of faith. It's not going to be hard to find either. Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. So, how do we see Abel demonstrating faith here? We see that he offered God a sacrifice. And here we're told that it was better. And maybe that was because it was a blood sacrifice. Maybe it was because of the attitude that he showed, the attitude of faith and worship and submission to God when he made this sacrifice. Maybe that was it. But we're told that it was better. Now, how do we see in verse 4, how do we see that God commended him? It tells us that he was being commended as being righteous, and God spoke well of his offerings. And I think this is because he had acted in faith. That was key. And in the end of verse 4, we see how it declares to us that the faith of Abel is still a model for us right now. So something I want us to think about now, where we just looked at how Abel's faith, we're told that that's a model for us right now. How does our influence, as people of faith, how does our influence live long past us and affect those who may follow us? You know, how does that happen? One way, I think, it's in the life we live before our family and our friends and maybe the people that we work with. Another way is what we teach our children. And another way that our faith can live on past us, it'd be the way that we participate in the Great Commission, the giving, the going, and the praying. I think it's also through the things that we may write down and that other people may come along later and take up and read. And lastly, and very important, I think, another way that we influence other people and that influence goes on past us is that how we model a life of faith and a life of faith in God and also in obedience to God. Now, speaking about modeling a life of faith and being obedient, what are some daily practices that you can think of, some daily practices that strengthen your faith? Daily practices that strengthen your faith. What comes to mind there? One of the first things pops in my mind is communicating, our communication with God. And ways that we do that is we hear Him through His Scripture. And of course, when we talk with Him in prayer and when we worship Him. When we worship Him and through that worship, we declare His worth and we declare our all just in who He is. Another way that we communicate God as well is when we're worshiping that we praise Him. We praise Him for what He does, what He has done, is doing, and will do. Another daily practice that can strengthen our faith, I think, of course, is the participation that we have in Christian ministries. Those things that we do that declare His love to others, the other people that may not know Him. And then another thing, especially at a time like this where we're not able to gather together, it just kind of sticks in my mind even that much harder. A practice that we have that strengthens our faith is the fellowship that we have with other believers. But at least we can gather here around His Word today. Let's get ready now and go ahead and move along to our third section of verses that we have in today's lesson. We're still following right along where we left off. We're still in Hebrews chapter 11. And now we're going to pick up with verses 5 and 6 here. And this time, in these verses, the thing I want us to be looking for as we read is a unique experience that's described here, something quite unique. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So, we mentioned going in here that we needed to look for a unique experience here. What is it that makes Enoch so unusual in the chronicles of all the biblical accounts? I think it kind of jumps right out at us. You know, we see that Enoch was instantly taken or translated out of this physical existence. We see that Enoch did not experience death. If we look in verse 5 there, it explained to us how Enoch just couldn't be found. God just took him away to himself. I mean, we see from Scripture, we know that Enoch walked with God. We're told he walked with God, and then he's just gone. And again, God just snatched him right up. Now, how awesome is that, to be that close, that tight with God, that he just slips you out from this physical world right into an eternal world with him? That's awesome. And so looking at Enoch and his and the story of what happened to him, how does this illustrate, or what does this illustrate to us about faith? Well, in these verses, it tells us that he was commended as one who pleased God. And then in verse 6, it says that we cannot please God without faith. So, therefore, he must have been a man of faith. You know, if these two things are true, then Enoch had to be a man of faith. And so we see now what Enoch did and his faith, and we're told that it pleased God. I want us to think for just a minute, what is it that's required of us if we are going to please God? What's required of us? A lot of it's the same thing that was required of Enoch. And of course, I think first thing comes to mind, first thing that's required if we're going to please God, then we've got to believe he exists. That's, you know, number one that pops in my mind. And we also have to believe, according to these verses here, we had to believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And for us today, we trust what God says to us in his word that he's given to us. For us, our faith that we have, our faith is in the redemptive work of Jesus, in his redemptive work through his perfect life, his substitutionary death, the victorious resurrection, and of course, his eventual return. He is coming back. Another phrase we see here in these verses talks about earnestly seeking God. What do you think it means to earnestly seek God? What is that? What does that look like? You know, what do we do if we're earnestly seeking some God? What are some characteristics of that? One thing comes to my mind is that if we're earnestly seeking him, then we're going to read what God says to us. And not just read it, but to take it and apply what we read to our life. Another thing is that we're going to talk with God. We're going to pray. We're going to keep that communication line open. And when we pray to God, we need to be telling God about our all of who he is and what he's like. And something else when we're talking with God, we need to confess to God and agree with him about our sinful condition, our sinful attitudes and actions that we have. We need to agree with him. And we can go to him and we can, and praying with him, we can tell him our problems. We can tell him our needs. You know, and you may think, well, he knows my needs. Why do I have to tell him? That's just part of the experience in developing that trust and faith, that we need to actually go through that process of telling him. He already knows, yeah, but we need to tell him that. He needs to hear it from us. And also we need to tell him, when we're expressing our needs to him, we also need to be sure to tell him that we are trusting him, not just to hear about those needs, but that he's going to meet those needs. He's going to solve those problems with us. If we look now at the end of verse 6, it talks about how God rewards those who earnestly seek him. Rewards. Now, what kind of rewards is that talking about, do you think? What kind of rewards do we receive from God? What comes to your mind? What kind of rewards do you receive from God? One thing comes to my mind first would be an eternal life. Yeah. But not just an eternal life, you know, something off in the future, but we also have the reward of an abundant life right here and now. Right here and now. And again, one of our rewards is an eternal union with him beyond this life. We may not go straight out of this existence to being with him like Enoch did, but we'll be in the same place with him like Enoch is. And another thing I think it's important for us to think about, another reward that we get from the Lord when we earnestly seek him, is our faith. You know, what we're talking about here today, the kind of faith that we gain from this relationship. That kind of faith should be like a treasure for us. And this treasure, maybe I think it's described in a pretty good fashion here. And if we look in Matthew, the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 11. Excuse me, I'm hung up on chapter 11 today. But no, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, tells us, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field." Wow, now that's a treasure. I think that's a real treasure. You know, our faith, if it's going to be that kind of treasure, it's something that is definitely worth having. Now, to start kind of summing things up in today's lesson, probably the greatest takeaway that I've been able to come up with from today's lesson, something that would be kind of short and sweet, would be that the better we know God, the more we trust him, and the less we doubt. Again, the better we know God, the more we trust him, and the less we doubt. Pretty simple. And I think that sentence lines up very well with some observations that Charles Spurgeon made in a sermon that he gave dealing with these same verses that we're looking at in today's lesson. Spurgeon says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do we not sometimes fail in this matter? We try to come to God without believing that he is. We seem to pray to nothing, or to nobody, or to a specter, to a phantom. But that prayer which is accepted is a prayer to a real God, of whom we are assured that he is. Do we not also fail in our belief as to the success of prayer? We do not fully recognize that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He that prays, believing that God will be found by him, shall not pray in vain." He shall not pray in vain. You know, Spurgeon just took our entire lesson that we've been talking about for, a half hour or so, and just summed it up right there in that concise few words. You know, he can do that. I want us now to look, if we've got the in your text there, usually at the end of most of these lessons, it has some live it out points. Three points that it brings up to us, some application points that we can use to take what we've looked at in our lesson and turn around and apply it to our lives when we go out during the next week. And in this week's lesson, our book points out to us first that we need to thank God for faith, to thank God for faith. And we can do that by acknowledging God for bringing us to this faith that we have in Christ. We can acknowledge our belief in him and seek to please him in how we live out our faith. Second point it gives to us, it says to walk in faith. We need to choose to walk in obedience to Christ. And we can do that by daily reading God's word and identify areas that we see in there that it may bring to our attention where we need to walk in faith and obedience. So we can thank God for faith. We can walk in faith. And the final point that's given to us is that we need to express our faith. As we live in obedient faith, we need to be asking God for opportunities, for him to bring us opportunities to tell somebody else why we believe in him. And not just why we believe in him, but why we choose to live by faith in Christ. So, I want you to think about those three points: thanking God for faith, walk in faith, and express our faith. As we wrap our lesson up, think about these things and let us look for opportunities to do these things and to go out and spread our faith, share our faith with others. I want to thank you again for tuning in. That's all I've got in today's lesson. But I'd like for us, as we close out our lesson right here, to just come together. As we've come together around His Word, I want us to come together in prayer for a minute. Heavenly Father, we just come to you now just thanking you for the awesome and wonderful God that you are. And Father, at a time like this where things are confusing, we just thank you that when we, even though we can't gather together as a group, we're still able to gather together around your word, Father, and it's so precious to us. And we just thank you for this chance we've had to look at your word today, to look at Hebrews and how it explains faith to us and how it works, Father. And especially as our lesson points out to us, Father, we just thank you that we can confidently trust in what you do and in what you say, Father, and how that is just so precious. And we thank you for reminding us about that today. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right. Well, please stay tuned. In a little while, at 10 o'clock, we're going to start our regular worship service. Well, I say regular, but we're going to start our worship service today. So you've got a few minutes. If you need to get a drink and a nab, run, get it. But just get ready and be sure to be back here at 10 o'clock and take advantage of this way that we can still be together around His Word. Thank you.